Lime, duh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa, whoa, whoa. To the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians of the sector wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. Hey, what? Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora.
Thanks for nothing.
Okay.
You're dismissed.
Bad attitude. Bye-bye. A.k.a. Donnie Capri. From that time I went to Italy.
Seems like you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid.
Very negative soundboard today. A.k.a. Donnie Wrestling.
Shame.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. A.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof. Raja.
I gotta tell you, you are one weird dude.
Wow, I'm getting hazed by the soundboard today. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby,
gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, 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 gabba
This is hot garbage.
Hot damn! She's fat. What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy week Caliente Wrestling reaction. Have a little sip. Yeah, and before we get into it, Erin, she's showing for the YouTubers. You see, she's already cracking into a LaCroix.
I think she already cracked it.
But as I'm a purist.
Wait, could you tell me one more time what flavor that is?
Lime, duh. And now there's visual proof for people.
Cheers.
I'm going into glass today.
I like that ice
because these are non-refrigerated LaCroix.
This is my last LaCroix.
Yeah, are you gonna re-up?
I might go to Gelson's tonight and get some more. I don't know.
For the new listeners, we couldn't be less sponsored by LaCroix.
Not yet. There's still hope.
Couldn't do more work for something that doesn't love you back.
Yo, we're tagging them in pics. I'm hashtagging. I'm tagging. They don't want anything to do with us. Very annoying.
I think they're a dying brand, according to that article that we read. There was a... It's my article. It says, wake up and be awesome. Anyway, you heard her. Before I get into the announcements, you heard her. As always, the first lady, Erin Finnerty.
What up?
And before we get into all the spicy wrestling action this week, I got a couple things to say. First thing is, this podcast couldn't be more grassroots. This is one of the most grassroots podcasts on the market right now. I can't even get into our studio. No one will respond to me to even get the bell. The official cowbell.
My bell.
The bell is in there.
It
did break, I think, the last time we used it, but
yeah, it's been broken.
Yeah, the official cowbell. I can't get my cow banners. Anything in the hood. We have a full hard drive of cow episodes, and they won't let me in there. So, if you want to support this podcast, there's only one way to do it, besides listening and all the other ways. But patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Donate a couple bucks a month, but it's not really a donation because you are getting stuff. We don't ask for handouts. Every week we have AEW NXT centric bonus episode, so we give those shows their proper due. And as well, we also have probably the best thing going in the quarantine right now is I'm loving it. The Cow Movie Club, where Erin and I and anyone and special guests sometimes, like this week, pop in and we dissect a weekly movie that features a pro wrestler in it with an asterisk. Sometimes it's a movie
or not.
Feels like someone who's taken. There's definitely an actor in this movie who's taken a class.
Right.
And this week, Erin, and these episodes come out every Monday. What do we got?
Oh, coming up this Monday on the Cow Movie Club, we are watching Kickboxer Vengeance, now available for streaming on Netflix, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dave Bautista.
Right. And what's out right now?
Oh, right now you can check out this Monday's episode, which we did with special guest John Gabris. The three of us watched Bloodsport, which does not have a real professional wrestler in it, but it's got a tournament. It's got pecs. It's got blood and sport and entertainment. So it fits.
Minimal research, we could find someone in that movie who tried their hand at pro wrestling.
Yeah, 100.
So check that out.
Great episode. I would say watch the YouTube feed. We put it up exclusively for Cow Movie Club members. We do dancing and we flex and... Gabris showed his nipples, so it's worth a watch.
Yes, Gabris flexes a lot in that episode.
Yeah.
He's very proud of himself, a proud man.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's rare these days.
Yeah.
You get
especially around
out.
These parts.
And I see all you guys joining Patreon, upgrading your memberships and stuff. Hope you're digging the movie dissections. We also, by the way, have like the full years of 2018 and 2019 with a ton more content, including the 2 9-to-5 episodes and a bunch more movie dissections. So if you're sitting around like, what do I do? Go back, baby, dig into the archives that are the Patreon.
Yeah.
Also, guys, remember, I barely say this on the pod, but I should say it. Follow our social media accounts, at Cow Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Follow those, especially we're going to be posting some more stuff on Instagram and whatnot. So make sure to follow. If you listen to the podcast, just give us a follow.
And tell your friends to follow, too. Get them in the loop.
Get them in the mix. Also, we'll have a Money in the Bank stream on my Twitch channel this Sunday, twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. We'll be starting whenever the kickoff show starts, so probably like 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, something like that. We'll be watching Money in the Bank, which we'll get into, but I'm very excited for it. Loving all these concept matches. I think the number one perk of the quarantine for me is conceptual wrestling.
That's number one.
Okay. Now, last announcement before we get into everything. I would just like to announce a new venture for me on this podcast is that I'm going to be starting another podcast, weekly podcast called the Dan Black Attack Podcast. Don't worry, Cow Podcast will still be going strong. It's an idea I've had for a while, and now with the quarantine, I've had the time to actually put it together. But essentially, it's a podcast that captures the spirit of Cow, the energy of Cow, but also... brings in more of my opinions outside and more of my point of view and more of the fun outside of the world of wrestling. So if you enjoy listening to me, especially now that I can't be doing stand-up, go check that out. Those episodes will be coming out on Mondays weekly. I'll have more information, but the first episode will go up May 11th, I believe, and I'll post that. And sometimes these episodes will have guests, sometimes they won't. This first episode has a very special guest. My first guest for the Dan Black Attack podcast will be my wife, Jamie Lee, and we're discussing quarantine. But yeah, it's kind of a podcast where I want to get into more topics, but also be a little bit more honest. It's kind of the podcast I started because I'm like, I'm not really enjoying how everybody thinks that they know everything. You know what I mean? And then also, there's just a lot of extreme behavior going on. And my goal is to kind of just like, hey, I'm a guy. I'm just some guy. Here's what I think, but then also make you laugh, hopefully comfort you in these weird times, with some mispronounced words and some rationality, and hopefully you find it funny as well. In this first episode, my wife is encouraging me to
meditate.
And I'm gonna wait to hear it.
I'm gonna get more into the meditation, and see, and then report on my findings on what, how am I feeling about meditating. And cool. That's it. And you know what? I'm not afraid to get political on there as well. So if you don't like to hear anything political, I'm not the most. I'm not gonna be like. You know, this is, it's not, I'm not fucking Colbert or whatever. Not, it's not my whole identity, yeah. But, you know, I'm not afraid to call a spade, so.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anyway, let's talk about pro wrestling. So that's the Dan Black Attack podcast.
Can't wait to hear it.
Should be a fun podcast / experiment. If you dig what we're doing here, check it out. I'm pretty excited about it. Cool. All right. So anyway, you guys know we're going to talk about pro wrestling here. We need to talk about pro wrestling here. I would normally have Aaron ring the bell, but you know that UCB Theater has taken the bell hostage. So I'll have to go for
criminal.
The virtual bell. Yeah.
It's criminal.
The thing is, I drove by UCB a couple times. I'll say this.
Uh-huh.
Back, that's where our studio is. For new listeners, we used to record at the UCB studios. I drove by it. The gates closed, and like the whole like valet area is just like trashed.
Really? Oh my god.
It's just like, no, I don't think anyone is there. Like,
I think they put it on lockdown, and like, yeah. I heard like a note. I think they said they set the alarm, and just like, right. No one has been in or out since. That happened.
Doesn't someone get a check that, like, I don't know, like a mouse doesn't like chew the internet cord or something? I don't know, right?
Like, or that the valet area doesn't become like a dumpster for homeless people.
What is that? I think we had that like windstorm and like rain, like in that like 3 weeks back or something.
Yeah.
And then I think it trashed the place and then no one did the old pickup job.
No one cares.
Anyway, kind of crazy because another thing I was thinking about today in terms of the pod, I'm so bummed that we didn't have Calmania. Now, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to like focus on the past and whatnot, but this year was truly like an experiment, to put it quotes.
Yeah.
Of like, we're going to Tampa. And like, it really was coming together, but also I was just like, this could be like a complete nightmare or like workout, and I had a feeling it was like, you know, I tend to be negative, I can be pessimistic, which my wife talks about in the Dan Black Attack podcast this week, but I was feeling like, yo, I think this is gonna be like awesome. And the reason I got bummed about it is I was like, if next year's in LA, like that I know is gonna be fucking kick ass.
Cakewalk. We can do that. We already live here.
It's almost not enough of a challenge. I might have put that show underwater.
Put it in Tampa. Go to Tampa. We're still going to Tampa.
Calmania 3, because by the way, I think we just skipped right to 3. Calmania 2 is the ghost of Calmania.
It's like been memorialized. You can't skip it because it counts still. I think about it daily. I think the whole thing was like, oh, we were going to pull off like this full Calmania, like us who don't do this all the time.
Right.
Pull off this full Calmania independently all the way in Tampa. It's across the globe.
Yeah, because am I the only one? Like, I feel like something. I feel like a kid sometimes where I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, like the first time you got a paycheck as an adult, and then you were like, yo, fuck, what should I buy? You know, first thing I bought was the Dragon Dagger, a Power Rangers toy. And I was like, yo, because I always wanted that, and I saw it on eBay, and it was like $200, and I was like, fuck it, it's my money. And I graduated college, and I was working at an accounting firm, and I was like, yo, I gotta get the Dragon Dagger. I have that spirit all the time. Like, never left me, you know?
Yeah.
Where, like, I love the freedom of, like, oh, my God, like, let's just do a show. Let's just fly to fucking – fuck it.
You know.
No one owns me. Let me fly to fucking Tampa. And now you know who owns me? Dr. Fauci.
I know.
The freedom, the juvenile freedom of what we were going to do down
in
Tampa.
That's what I'm saying. And, like, I actually pull it off and, like, other people have a good time.
Yeah. We had Peter Rosenberg. It was me a fucking great time. Anyway.
Skylar Astin, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I don't know why I'm going backwards. It's probably not the feel good.
It's a good time to reflect. You know, we're like 8 weeks into quarantine. Right. You know, I look through my phone sometimes and I see the images, the poster from Cow Mania 2.
I know.
And it like hurts my feelings.
Because we're exactly, because I have that too. I'm always going through my phone and then you see like, oh, we did that for no reason. Like we did this for no reason. Anyway, all right, let's talk about pro wrestling. What do you say?
Okay, let's gobble it.
All right, well, Aaron, let's go to you first. Let's start out of the ring.
Yeah,
I didn't see it, but I feel like Becky Lynch, the women's Raw champion, is it was on the season premiere of Billions.
On Showtime. Yeah, I have never watched an episode of Billions before, but being a Becky Lynch fan, I decided to tune in and fast forward through the episode to her appearance because I saw like a still of it online.
Right. So before I just don't want to spoil this for myself, but I'm picturing this show. And by the way, Dan Soder has been on the show. Go back and you listen to Dan Soder. He's on the show Billions. And I actually meant to text him to be like, what was the deal with that? And I know he would love to talk about it.
Totally.
But so Becky Lynch has like I was gonna say fire engine orange, whatever. She's got like pumpkin orange hair, bright pumpkin, and the show is about like business people. It's like venture capitalists and shit.
Yeah.
So where the fuck would Becky fit into this show? I'm guessing she plays something close to herself, like she makes a bunch of money as some sort of artist and comes in to invest in the billionaires.
Okay, this is a very creative pitch that you have, and you are wrong. That is not the way not the direction that they took it. So, summarize, based on what I saw,
stupid.
Fucking stupid.
I mean, I thought it was a pretty good guess. I thought Randy was pretty tough on me there.
I know. Stupid. I mean, he was a little harsh.
All right.
Whoa, Randy.
Anyway, Aaron, I apologize.
Randy, please silence yourself. So Becky Lynch appears late in the episode, and I fast forwarded to that part. And here's what I put together. At this maybe hedge fund, there's two groups of people, and they don't like each other. And the woman in charge, who you may remember from Sons of Anarchy, I think, Mad Men, you recognize her. She needs to like get these two people together. So they're working away later in the episode, and this...
Is it Peggy or Peggy Bundy?
It is like the she plays a Jewish woman on Mad Men, like a girlfriend, I think.
Was it? All right, so Peggy from Mad Men and Peggy Bundy.
The girlfriend from Sons of Anarchy. So later in the episode, she's working away, and this like redhead woman comes in. She's like, where the fuck is she? I need to see her. She's like yelling at the receptionist. I gotta see her right now. This redhead comes in and she's like, I gotta see her.
All of a sudden the steam just comes out of the vent.
She's wearing goggles. No, but for real, she comes in, she starts flipping out on the receptionist, and then the woman in charge, the boss lady, comes out, and there's a full-on fucking fight in the Billions office, and she she like lays Becky Lynch out, this redhead, and then everyone's like, oh my god, our boss is a badass, and then she reveals that, oh, this is WWE champion, my friend Becky Lynch.
Oh my god, horrible.
Who she hired as to come in as a team builder to fight. Now, the funny thing is that
she beats up somebody in the off. Like, that's not even why. This is one thing. Wait. So she has an actual fight with somebody?
No, Becky Lynch has a staged fight with the woman in the office to show her. Becky actually delivers some pretty like motivational messages about like coming together, like being champion, doing your best, work, all that stuff. And your boy, Dan Soder, actually is in one of the two groups of people in the office. And he's like, holy shit, like, fuck yeah. Like, super excited that Becky Lynch is in the office for a staged fight with his boss.
That was shoot. That I can confirm was shoot.
Yeah.
That's
He's
awesome.
Like right in front, freaking out, super excited. And so that was it pretty much. And they hugged, they cheered. And guess what? Becky Lynch united the two sides of this workplace.
Wow. A unifying champion.
Yeah.
Just like I wish she would unify those two women titles and get the one off of Bayley. This Sunday, I got to tell you, I'll be honest, I'm very, very excited for Bayley versus Tamina.
I know. I never thought I'd be excited for a Tamina win, but let's go.
Because I'm like, is there any? Wouldn't you love if they gave Tamina the title? Just
fuck
like,
it.
What?
I just mean, fine. Yeah. And then she can drop it to Dana Brooke or whoever. Like, just let's go. Let's
Dana
go.
Dana Bash, Brooke Baldwin, Dana Bash, and Brooke, the two Brooke CNN Baldwin, anchors. Whatever. By the way, fun fact about Dana Brooke, her name comes from the two CNN anchors.
Yeah,
Dana Bash.
A big Baldwin. Daytime news watcher.
And so that's what her gimmick is. We figured it out. That's why she was the statistician. She was going the stats, going the CNN route. And that's her gimmick. Her gimmick is CNN news anchor. Anyway.
Who does backbends. But it was fine. I watched it. It was totally fine. Becky Lynch's performance was great and she looked really cool.
Let's head on over to Merch Corner. What do you
pivot from Billions Corner to Merch Corner.
I'm done talking about Billions forever.
I know. Same.
No, I got no beef. Check out Billions. Support Dan Turner. hilarious guy. That's a shoot. But okay. WWE put out face masks. And you know, I imagine all companies are going to start doing this if they haven't already. And yeah, check it out. I'm looking at WWE Shop right now.
Yeah, I saw them this morning.
You know, they're exactly what you would expect. There's no like killer designs. The most creative they've gotten with it is making that part of your face what the wrestler's face looks like. So the Fiend mask and Kane's like bottom of his face. Any wrestler has a mask.
You know what my problem with these is that a mask is an item that it exists to wear in public.
Right.
And it is for others to see. It's not like a shirt where you wear it around the house.
Right.
And none of these designs, except for maybe, in my opinion, the Mustafa Ali mask.
Yo, that's what I was going to say. Mustafa Ali is the best one.
I love that. That's the only one I was like, oh, maybe I'll buy it. But then I saw they don't ship until June 1st. So,
Yeah, by then I'm not wearing a mask anymore.
Yeah, like I don't want to wear, you know, a you can't see me John Cena mask. I mean, I probably would, but I don't know. None of these designs are super cool and not many logos. It's just nothing I would rock.
Yeah, when I first
it's like
saw
a big
like
print cool, in the middle. Like
I think the Kane one is technically the best one because it's like part of a Kane mask, so that's kind of cool. But you know, none of them are particularly amazing. The Fiend one's just too scary, to be honest.
I know. It's so weird.
I think people are just gonna. That's just gonna be creep people out. You know, if I probably got one, I'd probably just get the like. Just the title. Just wearing the title on your face, especially because I have the fanny pack. So then it's just a ridiculous outfit.
Dan, I hate to do this, but I have to step away for 2 seconds to print a document for my boss in my office. So.
Go print it. Do it.
I'll be right back. I'm sorry.
All right. That's fine. I got tons to say. All right. Aaron's not here. Finally, I can beat myself. But anyway. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think if you want any of these masks are cool. Maybe the Rollins one's a good time. You know, good idea. Good idea. Anyway, another thing, by the way, Undertaker Last Ride documentary coming out Sunday. It's going to be debuting after Money in the Bank. So if for any reason you weren't trying to watch Money in the Bank, I think you'll want to watch that. So it'll probably be up on the network. I don't know if it'll be up on the – I think it's debuting after. So that is supposed to be – it's interesting because it's like they had the Last Dance Michael Jordan thing. Documentary, which I haven't watched at all. Obviously, sports. I know I should. Well, people are telling me I will like it, but you know, you know, it's funny. It's like Jordan. It's not, I know Michael Jordan was important, but I like him. I appreciate him more now. Like when I was a kid, everyone was like had Jordan fever. Obviously, I didn't like basketball, so I didn't care. I had more Undertaker fever then. Anyway, not really important. Undertaker Last Ride. I'm gonna check that out. Okay, so I want to talk about Aaron. Do we have you or no? Are you still printing?
I'm about to print.
Okay, do your thing. No, because it depends on what I'm going to talk about next. All right, okay. I'm going to talk about this other thing. So I thought before we get into this Money in the Bank predictions and all that and talking about the lead up on Raw and SmackDown, I want to talk about the thing that I found the most interesting when I was looking at up stuff this week, which is this Matt Riddle interview. Because so all right, here's where I stand on Matt Riddle,
bro.
Well, I stand on Matt Riddle is that what he's doing is gonna work. Like all his heat with Goldberg, and he had Pete with Jericho, if you remember, and Brock Lesnar gave him shit because he's boys with Goldberg, and he's getting essentially what we've talked about. It feels like Goldberg Riddle is kind of just speaking his mind, also playing the game a little bit, instigating heat. But in some people's mind, especially in the wrestling world, he's overstepping and he's kind of coming off as disrespectful to a lot of people in the business. The business has kind of a way of working. It's very fraternal in that way. He's kind of stepping on people's toes. Me and Shebs have butt heads over this. Shebs has said to me, you know, he thinks it's what he's doing is not good, or I'll let Shebs speak for himself at some point. You back in the mix?
Yeah, I'm back.
Aaron's back. But my thing is that I think Matt Riddle's a big star. I think it's going to work. And not only that, I think what he's doing is necessary. Somebody needs to be – we need more honesty in WWE. We need more wrestlers saying how they actually speak. In the social media age, we can't have it's not that you can't have every wrestler doing this, but the biggest problem with WWE is that Vince controls basically all of it, and it's too many guys to control. I'm not even knocking Vince creatively. I could on many, many decisions.
Obviously.
RDG took Chad Gable, who still put on the best match I'd ever seen at that WrestleMania weekend. It was a fucking American Alpha versus The Revival. Pretty much besides Jason Jordan, all wrestlers who have been wronged by WWE in terms of creativity. Amazing, amazing talent. We've seen it. And then he's called Shorty G, and it was reduced to his height, which, by the way, I never even noticed he was that small. We could have played him up as being big. Whatever.
Because he's not that small. I don't think he's actually like a short person. Like,
is he like 5'2"?
He's not
like he was 5'2".
He's not like Seth Green height.
Right. Hey, folks.
Seth Green's 5'3". I know that for a fact. Oh, and real quick, Shorty G is 5'8".
Right. So he's my height. Like
Shorty D?
Yeah, Shorty D. Now, that's also Daniel Bryan's height.
Right.
I know all the 5'8 guys. Okay. I'm a little bit above 5'8", if you must know.
Yeah.
But he doesn't feel that small, you know? That's very short for a pro wrestler, but when you have that kind of power and athleticism, I feel like you could play it up. Anyhow, that's the way they went to go. I didn't mean to relitigate Shorty G.
Okay.
My point is that I think that wrestlers kind of speaking their mind and being honest on their social media, especially about things they're upset about, I think it's okay, and I think it's part of wrestling. I understand if it's like a legitimate sports organization and maybe you're kind of breaking from protocol and whatnot because it has more rigid rules. But pro wrestlers need to get over, especially in this age of wrestlers being more true to who they are and themselves. Their names are more Matt Riddle. That's his actual name. So if he's not being authentic, then he probably won't connect. So I appreciate him playing the game but also being honest with his opinions. Now,
right.
Here's what he said, okay?
This,
he did this interview with Sports Kita, and he said that I wrote this whole transcript, and I'm reading the whole thing because I was like, which parts can I cut? And I was like, I like all this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an interesting conversation. But he says, I'll tell you this. Do I have heat with WWE or NXT or the people that run the show? No. Do I have heat right? With some people who think I'm disrespectful at times because they don't understand how business works? Yes. Do people think take things too seriously? Yes. So that pretty much already sums up exactly how I feel about what he's doing.
Right. 100%.
Right? Which is like the guy is just playing the game a little bit.
Right. Well, and the important part is also it's like, do I have heat with the people who run the show? Like, no. Because right. What he's doing is like, I think clicking for the people who like him and for, I think the people who run the show see that.
Yeah. And also he's, you know, we're following in the CM Punk footsteps where that shit is rewarded. Sometimes pushing through that takes bravery. You have to be like a Joan Rivers. Everyone applauded Joan Rivers. But you think about like the years comparing Matt Riddle to Joan Rivers is why you listen to this podcast.
Yes.
But like it's similar in their crafts where Joan Rivers was like, yeah, like I made a career off saying what you're not supposed to say or whatever. Think about all the heat she took for saying these things, you know, for what you're not allowed to say. So it's like these walls sometimes of like what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do in this business, they don't really exist. What you need to be doing is just connecting with fans. That's honestly all that matters. And he understands that on a level that I think a lot of wrestlers do not understand and they're not even trying. That's what's so frustrating for me about wrestlers that come out of NXT like a Shayna Baszler and seem to really have learned nothing other than like people will cheer for me, you know, because right. I'm booked to win. I wish I didn't even bring her up because I know I'm going to take shit for that. We'll talk about her a little later, but okay, let's go back to this quote. He goes, okay. So he said, do people take things too seriously? Yes. And honestly, I've had to give talks at NXT. It's not like I stopped the place, but it's like interjecting. I'm like, I don't even know what that meant. I've had to give talks at NXT. It's not like I stopped the place, but it's like, okay, well, listen, this guy smokes a lot of weed.
You know what he's getting at here, folks.
we'll talk about authenticity. The 420 is real.
Yeah.
Wow, for me, that was a little... And honestly, he goes, hey, I'm going to tweet... I'm like, hey, I'm going to tweet or say something that offends you. Realize I'm not trying to actually offend you. I'm just trying to make people think I am. I'm putting out an image, a facade, you know. So he's saying sometimes he talks to the other talents and says, gives them a warning, like, let's get some heat going, right?
Right.
Okay, that's good. And then he goes, if I talk a certain amount of trash, people are like, oh, man, that guy's uncontrollable. He does what he wants. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing the job. I'm in the business I'm in. I'm a tag champ. I was in the Rumble. So how does this guy have so much nuclear heat? Okay, he goes, I was in Vince McMahon's office just 3 weeks ago before this thing broke out. I was in headquarters talking to him, and yeah, we mentioned the heat I have with certain people. But at the end of the day, he signs the checks, he makes it happen for me, and they're in control, not the talent. So that's another part of this that I think is so interesting. Because he said to Brock Lesnar, he says it at NXT events, and people go nuts for it at the end. Yeah. He says, he says to everyone, Brock Lesnar... He says to me, yo, give it up, kid. You're never going to fight me. He's like, he doesn't control who he fights. That is the WWE model, right? Like, it's like Vince McMahon's going to come in and be like, Brock, you're wrestling this guy or walk away from $500,000.
Right.
Brock will be like, all right, for 4 minutes of work, I can't beat he'll probably beat him. Anyway, so it's like, yeah, he's actually playing the system that's in place, which is very smart. If employers happy and I can make them money and make them profit and I'm worth my weight and I'm pulling my weight, I don't see a problem. To answer your question, yes, some people have heat. Some people I have heat with, most of it's just high school caddy. He said this, people who just can't take a joke or a work. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is so ready for main roster. This guy completely gets it. And this is why I've said that he will be – I said he'll be the first one to be heavyweight champion of that crop. And why I believe in him. It's not because I think the 420 shit's funny or whatever, or like a lot, some of the stuff, even the bro stuff. It's like, I like it. It's fun. But this guy knows himself. He's willing to be himself. You can tell. He's a father of three who's like, I'm here to just be as successful as possible for my kids.
Yeah.
I'm making myself vulnerable to this dude's career. Plus, he can go, so he's undeniable in the ring. So what are they gonna say? What are they gonna do?
Right.
What is anybody gonna do if he gets the heat? This is how this business works. You never. The best feuds of all time, people don't wrestle each other who like each other. We right. want them to actually right. not like each other and work with each other. We want yeah. Matt Hardy to get Edge to sleep with his girlfriend. Right. It's wrestling cool for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there's that kind of like, you know, oh, behind the scenes, like right. they really don't like each other. So like when they get in the ring, they're going to like really go at it. Like that hype and kind of authenticity is what makes it more exciting to watch and like right. why you tune in and why you buy merch and stuff.
Right. It's pro wrestling. Like it's yeah. And like there seems to be this like there seems to be like a whole culture there. It's the whole culture that kept the Young Bucks out of WWE ever that doesn't get it. But I just think he's the perfect blend of it all. Vince is gonna adore him. Right. And that's the deal.
Yeah.
Now, let's see if I'm wrong.
Right. All well, right. he's like, but like you said, he's working the system. So it's like he's down to clown and like, you know, if Vince is happy, he's happy. Yeah. Absolutely. He's working the system.
Absolutely. Anyway. Okay.
Matt Riddle, right. one of your guys?
100%. 100% one of my guys. Definitely. And you know what? I used to watch him wrestle at PWG, and he's not one of my guys.
Oh,
he used to just come out and just go, bro, bro, bro. And I was like, you know what? That was it. Everyone would go nuts, and I had a little bit of a Full Sail Heat vibe to me. A little bit of like, all right, like everyone loves this guy, but like just saying bro is not enough. You know,
right.
But what blows my mind about him is like his ability to just like bump into Goldberg backstage, own what he said. He didn't pussy out and go, "Hey, no. I'm sorry, I said that stuff."
Oh,
he's like,
no.
"All right." He's like, "Yo, I heard what you said." He's like, "All right."
He like, was excited. Like the backstage footage, he was like, "Oh, I'm ready for this." Like he was smiling, like he loved it.
He that guy is the man. Yeah, he's the man. Well, you know. These are the men.
I'm 4 or 5 women every day of my life.
Okay, and before we get into Money in the Bank, I want to talk about one other thing that was brought up on the Facebook group. Part of what makes this podcast so cool is the 3D experience, the 4D, the 5D. Maybe many people are saying 6, 7D experience.
We're entering the 7th dimension. Yeah. Whoa, I didn't know that. Cool.
But that's where I do this podcast from your house. But no, I like topics you guys bring up on the Facebook group that are interesting that I wouldn't necessarily think of in the conversations and bringing them into here. And a conversation going on in the Facebook group. And by the way, if you're not a member of the Cal Facebook group, I mean, what are you even doing?
Where have you been?
Yeah, talking about the Comedians Wrestling Facebook group where we talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning. Yeah, that's right, under his eye.
Blessed be the fruit.
The fruit.
Oh, you didn't know?
anyway, the topic brought up, I believe, by
good for Dragnet. You.
Okay, you just that I will have that on the soundboard by next week. Okay,
good for you.
I have the clip, by the way. I think this. I don't remember. Maybe it was Steve Alcamudi or Brendan Daly. One of those guys sent it to me, so I have it.
Okay,
I will have that, and I also have a new recorded. Recorded sound drop. Okay. But anyway, that I need to add. But I'll play it later from my phone. Anyway, so the conversation was brought up was AEW Double or Nothing is going to be $50 again. We've talked about this in the past, about $50. I had said in the past I thought it was steep to start because I was like, they're trying to get a new audience, new viewers. I don't see people ordering a $50 pay-per-view, especially when we're so used to getting content for free for a show we didn't know exists. Now, that being said, I think their first one that I ordered was Double or Nothing last year. And I ordered for $50. I was away with Jamie's family, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy it. And, I mean, God, that was one of the best shows I'd ever watched.
That was so fun. Lauren Moran was staying at my house, and we bought it together. And it was well worth the money. It was so fun and so cool that since then – I have ponied up for their pay-per-views in the past, but if you're not splitting the cost, it kind of
hurts. It stinks. I mean, $50 stinks no matter what. But like, you know, I mean that pay-per-view had Cody Dustin, which I think is one of the classic matches of all time. Hey, I get chills talking about it. I love it. But okay, but $50. We're in the middle. People, we know we're in the middle of a pandemic. Money is tight for people, and the argument was brought up: paying $50 for a pay per view with no audience. I think audience being there are, I for me, that point is moot. Like, that's, I don't care if there's an audience there. Like, when we're in the middle of a pandemic, I'll suspend my disbelief. Right. My thing is this: there's a couple of things to think about with this. They've kept it at $50, so that means it must be working for them, right?
I guess, yeah. If they kept it, I'm assuming that they've had good turnout on the Bleacher Report app and stuff. People just buying it. I mean, you get it and you do get to keep it. Like, you can access it again at a later date. I don't know if there's any value added there, but I don't know. Must work for people.
Right, like, well, I'm just saying, like, they must look at the numbers and go, right, like, I remember I used to play that game. Yeah, I talked about this the first time we talked about this. Like, it would be, I'd sit down in a computer lab in, like, middle school, maybe, no, I think this was elementary school. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, who fucking knows at this point.
Yeah.
But,
stupid!
Okay, all right. But it would be like a simulator. You put the floppy disk in, and then it would be like selling lemonade, and you had to decide the price.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that?
You had to decide the price? Yeah, I do. I remember that.
Right.
It was called, I forget what it was called.
I don't know what it was, but it was like, oh, well, how like, the point was, like, you're trying to sell all the lemonade, and that'll be the most profitable. So it's like a quick, it's a way to teach kids, like, supply and demand early, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, I thought I did really well because I had, like, a couple lemons left, but, like, the smartest girl in the class, like, she had no lemons, like, on first try or whatever, you know?
My point is
that, like, it's really kind of as simple as that. You put out a pay-per-view, put the price, see how the buys are. Do you think you could do better based on your weekly viewership? Now they have weekly viewership numbers.
Yeah.
How close are those to that, considering people will split? Some people just won't have the cash at all. So you're going to get less than half of viewers, blah, blah, blah. But they must be looking at that at this point, the cons, and saying, this 50 is working for us. Arlen had also pointed out, official businessman of the show.
Yeah.
And I intend to, as on the Dan Black Attack podcast, I intend to bring in Arlen as well for my business inquiry.
I'll be listening.
And outside of the wrestling world as well, because I have a couple questions there. But Arlen was like, well, the reason you keep something at 50 is because you think that if you you think your people are going to buy it no matter what. You think your price is less dependent on if people will buy. Your hardcores will buy probably if they were going to buy regardless. And that's what he's thinking. So I imagine there's something true to that. I think during a pandemic, the problem, I cannot imagine. Now, two separate questions. First question, is the show going to be worth $50? That's 100% yes. Already this has some great matches on it. Forget about that. We're going to see Matt Hardy versus Chris Jericho in a Final Deletion style match. Like, that's worth $50 alone.
It's worth it to see it, like, happen live. You know what I mean? Like, you could catch up, see the GIFs later, but I think for something like that, you want to, like, witness. You want to be there.
An argument I have with Chebs all the time is that, like, part of what I love about the community so much and all this is that, like, we're all kind of responding in real time. If you watch wrestling even a week late, sometimes it's like, you know, you've probably heard about it. You're not getting the series of holy shits, you know.
Right. It's like reading an old magazine. It's like, get this. I already know all this shit. Like,
right. So anyway, there's two questions. Is it worth it? Would you agree with me that, yes, $50, if you're going to pay $50, you're probably not going to walk away from that pay-per-view saying, they haven't being like, oh, I wish I didn't spend it. Unless you need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like $50, it's all relative to what $50 means to you. But, like, as a price point, I guess it's is it worth paying for? Yeah, it'll probably be a good enough show where hopefully it'll be a good enough show where you won't regret it. But I think the problem is, like, what is $50 worth to each individual person right now.
And that's the second part of this, where I cannot imagine almost anyone, based on my, you know, just my feelings for, you know, our community specifically, like people listening to this pod and the Facebook group, and just you know, just like whatever data I've gathered from being part of wrestling for as long as I have, like, yeah, that I think that, like, if you put it at $30, people probably won't hesitate to buy it.
100%. Yeah, right? $30 is...
$30. You're like, that's fair. That feels like I could support AEW. You're like, right, that also factors in the cost of, like, well, I could stream it, but, like, you know, it's going to come in good quality. I can watch it back. And, like, I just don't have to fucking think about my stream cutting out and being behind and blah, blah, blah. You're like, for $30, like, that hassle, I'll find $30, you know?
Yeah.
But when
yeah.
it starts hitting 50, you start being like, I can watch this for free. You know, like, I can.
Stream
this somewhere, and, like, I might be a little behind, but, like, I know in 3 hours I'll still have $50.
Right. You know? 100%.
Right. So I think their price point is probably off. It just guessing, given the pandemic.
Right. Well, and I guess to me, it's like AEW is supposed to be this, like, progressive kind of, like, you know, company that cares more about its people and stuff. And I think, like, we're in a global pandemic, like,
right,
the whole country is out of work, essentially. And, you know, you would think if there was a time to be like, hey, we're going to throw you guys a bone and, like, maybe lower the price, or, like, give you the first hour free. Like, you know, it's just come up right. with some sort of deal that is a little more friendly to the times.
Right.
So I think that's kind of disappointing, but I guess they must know something.
The times.
Fake news.
Sorry.
They must know something we don't.
Yeah. Anyway, I think they're off.
They should make it a pandemic special and make it $30, $25 or whatever. And
I think they would make more money for $30.
And it's this no crowd thing too, so it's like a whole different experience. It's like paying $50 to watch a movie on your TV or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
So I just want to say, like, this pandemic, we missed Cowmania, WrestleMania. Then it went all the way through to Double or Nothing. Think about how unimaginable that was. When we were going to WrestleMania, I was like, fuck, I got to go to Vegas for Double or Nothing also. That's going to
We talked about it on this show. Like, we were in the springtime and it was like, oh, like, I'm definitely going to go. Like, we're going to get it together.
Yeah, because you can drive there. It makes it so, like, sexy.
Yeah, and it's like, or it's like a 30-minute, $60 flight away. You know, like, the amount you pay to watch it on your TV, you could go to Vegas.
I know. But anyway, not to mention, AEW hasn't been on the West Coast. Like, we haven't had a chance to even go. But anyway,
would have been on.
I think their price is off, but I will gladly support it. Because also, there's also another way to think about it, which is, like, I don't know how they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how, you know, and again, it's like, I know, I mean, look, there's a very small minority, almost a very small minority of people saying that I've now become very AEW centric, which is kind of crazy. I think I just call it like it is. AEW shows have been way better during the weekly show, because I won't take away from the successes of WrestleMania. Was some amazing stuff, and I think this weekend we will see this Money in the Bank match. I'm sure I will adore. Especially someone who loved the House of Horrors match. I think I'm gonna love it. So that's it. But I also just go back to my same thesis every time, which is, I took WCW for granted. If AEW was to close tomorrow, and they're like, guys, sorry, AEW's over, you would be so sad. You know, it's another legitimate competitor of WWE. And I'm sorry, for me, New Japan does not scratch that itch for me of, like, whatever soap opera elements of pro wrestling that AEW's willing to go into. So, and then not to, you know, and they pull a lot of the great New Japan talents over. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying is that. So, I also, if they're in trouble, I hope they're more on. I hope they would be honest about it. I don't know. I guess they have this TV deal locked in. All right. Anyway. Cool. Let's talk about Money in the Bank for a second.
Okay.
So I want to. That's the Money in the Bank sound effect?
Yeah. Sorry.
Is that Outlook? So
that was Outlook, folks. It's 4:55. I'm still on the clock.
The Outlook is clear. But Money in the Bank card. I just want to talk about the actual Money in the Bank matches for a second. So last week I had said that. Okay, I'm just going to go start right here.
Let's go.
I could use MVP to just go away.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Truth told, I kind of have fast-forwarded through or just skipped his segments altogether.
They're so bad.
But I watched this week, and I was like, why are we here? Like, what? I don't know. I didn't get it.
Well, my criticism of it is like, I want to hear how these wrestlers feel about being in the Money in the Bank. Let's hear what
there was
that?
Nothing.
Right. So the MVP, he gets out there and he's sucking all the heat away from these matches by pretending he's in a club. Look, right. I think that's kind of whatever, but like literally like Aleister Black showed up. He's like, yo, I guess you're not used to hanging out in clubs. Like we're actually in a club. Like, you know,
in a club.
Like, I get it. Like, yo, welcome to my club. But anyway, whatever. It just wasn't really working. And then they did it again. It didn't work last week. That's it. Now, I was never an MVP mark, by the way. I watched a lot of MVP wrestling. I was there when he showed up. I remember his debut. Just, you know, whatever. I like the idea in theory, but he never really clicked for me. It doesn't really matter. The point is, it's like, I want more stuff. The stuff I'm asking for, they actually did. On SmackDown, Daniel Bryan came out to the ring, talked about why he's so excited to get a shot at the Money in the Bank briefcase, like what that match means to him and how much he loves wrestling. And now it's a unique style of match. It's one of its kind. And he loves the competition of being in there. And
kind of seems like it reminds him of like his past wrestling endeavors. Like he's wrestled in pawn shop parking lots and grocery stores and all this stuff. So,
and he's never wrestled in an office building. You're like, oh, that's cool. It's like, I was like, oh, all right, here's what this match means to him, because it's kind of easy in my mind. You start going like, oh, all right, well, and they did it again, but also AJ, great. AJ comes out, we get this new mean AJ, and he comes out and he's like, yo, he's excited to be in this Money in the Bank match, because it feels like he's embarrassed about what happened at WrestleMania, and it's like, yeah, I need a quick way back up to the top. Cool. Now you feel these characters, their mindset going into this match is not just, I'm a wrestler and here, this is a good way I can become the champion. Especially because titles in WWE, they don't feel like they matter as much because there's so many of them.
Yeah,
So that's what I was talking about, and I thought that Daniel Bryan segment that like worked for me. And then Corbin came out, and it was like, yeah, Corbin starts off every single SmackDown.
I really do not like him. I don't know. People are like, oh, he does good work. You hate him. That's why he's doing good work. But I just like cannot stand him. I liked when Daniel Bryan did call him out and call him a loser, though. That felt very satisfying.
Yeah,
like threw it in his face that he blew it.
You know, I go back. The main note I have in my head always when I'm watching and I'm thinking about what I'm going to say in the podcast. That's right, people. I think about some of this stuff. But I'm always like, well, the King gimmick, it's so stupid, you know?
And is it like a forever gimmick too? Like, that's just his name now?
But like being King of the Ring is classic and it has worked. Like the King Booker, that kind of worked. Like, that kind of work. It's not that it doesn't work. It's just that the way Corbin does it,
I know,
it's like, are you a king or are you just like a hard metal guy? Like, because he's like, oh, my subjects and like all that, and it's just like he's good at getting heat. He's proficient on the microphone. He gets a lot better. I've said it before. Baron Corbin, he's pretty good. You know, like He's pretty good. Like I understand why Vince puts him out there, because he can get the job done. He does have an unlikable quality to him. But as the thing with the King thing, it's like, all right, so he came out at one point, he had like Ziggler and Rude. It's like, what? I start zoning out when I'm like, oh, okay, this is for like little kids, which, by the way, that's my fault. This is for little kids.
Yeah.
Which is another reason I like AEW a lot. A lot of it,
right.
It feels very adult. And it's
a lot of it is definitely not for kids.
Right. Like, one guy's called the Murder Hawk. and then there's a bunch of guys. There's three guys that legitimately look scary, and they call themselves the Death Triangle. I like that. There's something about that. Like, I like – anyway, WWE has their fair share of it's harder for them. They're playing to a way broader audience. Like, I totally get that. And they're pretty slick sometimes about how they make their content more adult with like Brock and whatnot and The Fiend. So they do that. I'm not saying the whole product. But when they start just being like, all right, he's a king, some people follow him, whatever. But compare like Corbin's king gimmick to what's really working about Rollins' gimmick, where it's like, oh, I'm a messiah. Like, I'm literally in the world of it. Really believe that like Buddy Murphy is following him and has like become like the Scientologist, like he is the L. Ron Hubbard of him. That the Rollins thing is really clicking and working, but it's like weird that like then you have a guy pretending to be a king, but like what is he, the reign of what? He won that tournament, but like now he thinks he's a king? Like that's so stupid.
And then it's so kind of sad. like you think you're king of what? And
like you think about when like Austin, you know, when Austin won King of the Ring, like he came out there, he didn't like put on the crown and this and that. He like cape. Went up there. Right. He went up there. They're like, oh, here's the cape and this. And then he's like, get that piece of shit out of my ring.
Right.
That feels more like what AEW style thing where like there's a throne and then Cody smashes it. Like
right.
I'm just calling it like I see it. So that being said, the thing that AEW will never be able to do that WWE do was own a real active office building.
Right.
And, like literally people will be in there doing marketing and whatnot.
Right.
Like literally that's what works about makes WWE so awesome is that Vince McMahon is the legitimate majority shareholder of a publicly traded corporate entertainment company. And he also uses that office for guys in underwear to fight each other in the hallway. Like it's what
to try to get to the top of the building.
Yeah, it almost goes back to what we were saying at the beginning of the episode, that thing of like, oh, I get to be like an adult and buy my fucking dragon dagger or whatever. Like,
right.
Vince McMahon is like living that dream of like, I'm an adult, I do adult things.
This is my building. Yeah.
But also what happens in is my choice, mommy.
Right.
So, I think, so like the Rollins thing is, Rollins is really a great, great talent. This guy Rollins, you know this guy, right, Seth?
Seth Rollins, yeah, I'm pretty familiar.
Guys?
How dare you even ask that question?
Of course,
he's my guy. I got a big old stack of Seth Rollins t-shirts, not too far away from me here.
Yeah, Seth is the guy I probably have the most merch of because when I've been on my merch kick, by the way, ties into that same feeling. Let's call it the first paycheck feeling.
Oh,
that's my merch feeling. It's like that. It's like the shirts. But anyway,
I can own as many shirts about one guy as I want. Like
no one's really gonna be up my ass about it. My wife will make a comment. How many of those do you have? But it stops there.
Right.
I bought this in Japan. This shirt.
Oh, I remember that. That's cool. That's a good
very cool shirt.
Love the color.
It has the pop. It is nice to have like a red shirt. This also feels like a shirt you could just kind of rock out. Like I could. It has a
vibe. 100%. You could wear that shirt in San Francisco too. That's the cool thing about it.
Because it has no snake. It's snake
no
free.
No snakes. No guns.
Okay. But Seth Rollins, the guy is so interesting because Seth Rollins, hot dude.
Very hot right now.
Seth Rollins, when he wears the furry jacket and he has the new like undercut, I think it's the hottest he's looked.
Agree. No? His body is great under it. No, I agree.
I was just kidding. No, it's just like a little Swayze Rollins.
He looks so fine. And like his hair, I do like love a man bun.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, ooh. And his tan looks great. His hair looks great. And his body looks great.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably in some of the best shape of his life right now.
He pulls off the man bun. And let me tell you why. This ties into what I'm saying. He's in great shape.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins is thriving without the WWE universe.
I mean,
not a people person.
No, I think like he's probably like he probably feels. I mean, he does great when there's a crowd. It's fine, but without it, I think he's really adding this kind of like dramatic flair that maybe is embarrassing for a man to add who's not like an actor, you know what I mean, like by trade.
And the crowd in front doesn't of a really,
crowd,
yeah, you know? The crowd doesn't like allow you to do it. He's able to, like, he's really focused, you know, and he is like a focused guy. He works out really hard.
He's
got a coffee shop.
Yeah, and a wrestling school next door attached to it. I've been
absolutely
there.
By the way, I saw some interview with him being like, he had to like furlough his employees. Oh, we talked about this one. And he was like, oh, and I was like, bro, you can afford to keep your coffee shop employees.
You're
like,
yeah, I don't
one
know.
Of the most successful WWE, those people don't make that much. You could pay their wages.
I don't know. I don't know anything about the coffee shop right now. I'd assume they're still open. Like,
he said they are open. Yeah, okay. Open. They are. I hope he still pays his employees. He doesn't have that. I'm not counting his money, but he makes enough money to pay his small coffee shop.
Well,
his three employees.
It's also worth noting that the coffee shop isn't entirely his. He's a partner in it with an actual coffee shop business. So I think he's kind of just like the face of the coffee shop, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, and you went there, right?
I did. I went there.
Was his face on it, literally?
No. It has like a cool like hip vibe, but there's no evidence that it is co-owned by Seth Rollins.
Maybe he's not doing as well as I thought.
When you go to the wrestling school that's attached to it, there is, though, because there's like all the titles hanging up, you know, all of his like Black and the Brave stuff. So,
all right. Well, you might have to
insurance money.
Oh man, Seth Rollins. But anyway, he's killed this week. More of the same, but even better.
Yeah.
With Drew McIntyre cutting that promo, fantastic stuff. He's really doing a nice job.
Yeah.
I'm full on board with another iteration of Seth Rollins.
Good
for him. He's like,
was
the
great.
Only thing that, and this is just more of a writing tweak, when they asked him about Murphy before Murphy's match against Drew McIntyre, I would have loved, and I thought he was going to do it. Kayla was talking to him, and I would have loved
Charlie.
And I would have loved, I knew when I said that I had it wrong, but I just kept going, and then you corrected me, and I was like, I should have said, I don't think it was, anyway, not important, but I thought there was a chance. I knew he wouldn't do it, but I was hoping. No, I did think he was going to do it. I thought he was going to say, let me tell you about Murphy. Here's how I feel about Murphy versus Drew McIntyre tonight. Murphy is going to lose clean. I thought he was going to say, Murphy is going to lose clean. It's not about that. My match is on Sunday, you know?
Right,
and he's like,
right.
Murphy's not ready. This is just a step for Murphy. He doesn't know this, but he's going to get destroyed. And I thought like it would be like one of his, like a lesson. It's like, I know he's going to lose.
Yeah. Like a Book of Job type thing where you like have to subject your subject to some hardship.
That's deeper. I was thinking more Taken, of like, they're going to take you.
They're going to take you. Know this. Yeah.
They're going to take you. That, you know, I think that one line, not the skills line, is what made Taken a success. People think it's the line where it's like, I have a very specific set of skills.
Yeah.
But I think it's just when he gets on the phone with his daughter and he just says the opposite, where instead of saying like, no, don't take it, blah, blah, he just calmly is like, they're going to take you. Like, this is, I know how this goes. I think that's what made everyone love that so much.
Yeah. Well, also, Liam Neeson is like a straight up old man, and he's got a huge hog, if you didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Fun fact.
I've heard this many times.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn, one of my favorite Asians.
one of the great Asians.
One of the Filipino. Great Asians. Yeah. One of my Filipino brethren. He, Janice Dickinson, the supermodel, I think said in her autobiography that it is like an a bottle of Evian water.
Oh, fun fact about, I'm not
Qui-Gon
sure.
Jinn.
Yeah. A fun fact there. Anyway.
Anyways, taking rocks.
Good for him. Good for him.
I love that. I say it all the time now.
But yeah, he's keeping with it. He has a very, it's nice in WWE when a wrestler has a message that you could see consistency with that they're building. His story is like, oh, I sacrificed for that title and it's a burden not anyone can take. But then he has such a moment where you know he's full of shit. He just sees the title, picks it up, and then he gets like completely distracted and you're like,
right.
Oh, all right. And then like, and he gets caught in his lie by getting beat up by Drew where it's like, oh, you also just want to be a top. Like, get out of your own ass.
Right.
It also sets Rollins up to lose clean to Drew. We need Drew to win. Drew is literally He-Man. I mean,
yeah,
it's so great. What a great wrestler.
Claymore kick is always effective.
And the headbutt. I love the headbutt too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. But anyway, great. Good for Rollins. He's locking in, and let's keep track of him. When the audiences start coming back, I bet he's gonna do worse.
I mean, that's a ways away. So I don't know.
Because yeah, I know. By the time it comes back, it'll be like who knows? It's gonna be like every sixth seat or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And who knows if he'll even sell tickets. People will be like, I'll just watch at home, right?
I got to tell you, I would love to go to a wrestling show right now, COVID or not.
I would kill. Isn't it crazy how we think about when we went to PWG, like how close we sat?
Oh, my God.
Like, that's not something I ever took for granted. It's something I always hated. And now right? I'm like, I would love to just sit on top of somebody and not worry about getting sick. Because I don't think I'll ever again think about like – now I understand how the spread of germs work more. I don't like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know. Well, it's just like looking back at old photos once again, like even looking at the Cal Podcast Instagram, it's like, oh, like I posed with like the other people on the show and a guest and Dan's parents and like we're in tight. And it's like, I don't know. I think that will happen again one day, but people like large groups of strangers sitting in each other's laps to watch wrestling and like get each other's beer slashed on each other. I don't know.
The like even getting someone to get a beer for you. It's like, who knows?
Oh yeah.
But like, they're going to start putting like cameras on the phones that go like this, right? Like, so you could social distance picture.
Yeah.
Like the picture we took of like the hoodies.
Right.
Where it's like, you're going to have to be like, you want to take a picture with someone, like the new CalPix will be like all Abbey Road style pictures.
Right. And then we'll do like a fisheye lens. So it appears like we're.
Oh my God. Anyway, a lot of good stuff happening is what I'm saying with AJ's, AJ's back meaner than ever. I thought that was really good. Now, in terms of SmackDown, we'll talk about just Money in the Bank pay-per-view, but let me see if there's things I can. Well, these points will tie into just the match. The one thing we were talking about MVP and we went all over the place, but let's just get back. Let's like Tarantino it, come back to the beginning of MVP. You know, whatever. You might like him, I don't know. But man, Shayna Baszler is so bad.
Whoopsie doodle. Oh my God.
It's an actual problem. I think about the fall from grace for Shayna Baszler. I mean, from the hottest NXT champion to now in on the main roster, really just fumbling every moment she gets. Now the writing's not great. And let's just listen to this line.
Oh, please. I'm like,
new permanent sound drop when I
take my headphones off.
Opera non verba.
I need to brush up on my Latin.
You caught that part. That's funny.
Wait. Hold on. I got to get them.
Opera non verba.
That was almost like suffering succotash, like uncomfortable moment. She just goes, she's sitting there with the mic. She's like, you know.
I know. She winds up for like 20 seconds.
And she's like, By the way, as a performer, I know what that is. Like, there's a thing where you're kind of like, when you're like a little novice, right? And a little nervous, you kind of like are late to perform.
Yeah.
Right? Like, cause you're like, it's kind of like you need like a little like head start. You're like, should I go now? Blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, oh, you know, you're like, I should have just started, but then I waited a little longer. And then time went by with you thinking about that. So she's not comfortable yet. So that's credit to her, like that. But she's like, all right, like,
you should, right? You guys like, have to watch the YouTube of this. She's like,
then she like grabs the mic. She's like, opera non-verba.
Yours actually sounded cooler. Yours sounded like Bill and Ted.
Opera non-verba. She says that, which, and then fucking MVP sells her out. But, oh, I gotta brush up on my Latin, which like makes it even less cooler. But also, okay, so, cool. So she says opera non-verba means deeds, not words, right, in Latin. And yeah, it's not cool. It's just not cool. And she doesn't sound cool. She just, man, it was so weird. But I'll say this segment, no one looked good in this segment.
The segment was not great. It was like zero. It was just like surf. It was like a pop-up ad or something. It was like, yeah.
For the money in the bank, for the women.
There was nothing. There was nothing important said. Like,
yeah.
You know, Asuka's bringing as much kind of spice to her kind of yelling in Japanese thing as she can, but it's like everyone
else. I
kind of
like what she did.
Yeah, she was having fun with it, but everyone else is just like, ugh.
Non-verba.
So lame.
Non-verba.
It's like truly cringeworthy to listen to over and over again.
Like, why is she, now she's talking Latin? Like, she makes no sense. She'll listen. She'll find it. I was talking to Tulo. He was like, she doesn't have to be good.
I read Tulo. That was so funny.
What are you talking about, bro? But anyway, I'll beat him up for that on the bonus app. But yeah, I mean, Shayna Baszler has got a lot of work to do. I mean, she cannot, in this state, cannot be winning that briefcase.
No.
It's not good for her to win that briefcase, because she won't have a good title run. If they're trying to do a thing where she'll get the briefcase and then cash in on Becky, if they're trying to do that, because then it like makes her loss not as bad. I hope they abandon ship on that. She just needs more time. She needs to figure out her deal, because she's not quite ready. And anyway,
she's like really tough and like looks like a badass. And like when she had her horsewomen in NXT, she didn't have to say much at all. But I feel like the more she talks, it really is hurting her every time. You know what I mean? It reduces the threat level by like a significant amount. And it's like, you guys, and like, I'm sure there's a way like a woman can come out and seem like tough in a different way than Becky Lynch or anyone else that like suits her gimmick. But this is not it, you guys.
Opera non verba.
I don't like it. Dance.
But no, the other thing she does is that she picks the mic back up. Like, it's not like she says, like, yo, I'm not going to talk. Then she picks the mic up and says more. It makes it even worse. Listen, we all have our bad segments. She's got to figure it out. But I'm just saying, she not there. Anyway, let's talk about the women's Money in the Bank match. Has changed since we talked about it last. Carmella is now in there. And then the rest is the same. Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, Carmella. I think they could all win. That's what I said last week.
It's level playing field. Yeah. I don't know, because like you said, they could all win. But I would like to see maybe Nia Jax or Asuka, anyone except for Shayna Baszler or Dana Brooke, I think would be fine with me.
Yeah, I mean,
I like Lacey Evans.
Yeah, all these women are not really, the only one who's really positioned for it is like Shayna and Nia are positioned for it. Lacey actually is not a bad, she's not bad. She's not, she, I kind of feel like she's hurting. She could use a crowd, you know. It's hard to get need here, like on this lead up. That's what's making it awkward. But
right.
If I had to say who do I want to win it, I would think I think probably Nia Jax is the best one, the best person to give it to right now. Just based on the current landscape.
I got Lacey.
Yeah. All right. The men's Money in the Bank has shifted slightly. It actually is. We swapped Otis for Apollo Crews, is what the shift was from that first week. AJ Styles being it almost. We had AJ Styles in it before he was qualified. I almost think that was a spoiler on my part because of what I got from Wikipedia, but who knows? Maybe because they were filming it, so people knew AJ was in it. Weird times. You know what I
mean? I don't know. Yeah.
Who do you think wins this men's Money in the Bank briefcase?
Well, I had picked Aleister Black in the past, but the rumblings are like AJ Styles might be the one, which he would be a great Money in the Bank briefcase holder, I think, but I'm still picking Aleister.
Well, there's a couple of the more I think about the Money in the Bank, I kind of figure out the slots for it. Like,
yeah,
like AJ is a great one. There is this kind of like other zone where it's like, you're fucking great. You could easily be champ. It's just not time for you right now.
Right.
And it'd be cool for you to have the title. Like, Alexa Bliss is like another example of that kind of wrestler where you're like, oh, it's a bummer she's out of the picture. But if we give her the briefcase, she kind of is in the picture. And like AJ is like that, where it's like, it's just cool to see like AJ. We know that he's not in a position to have the title, but him holding the briefcase all year would just be very fun.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it would be fun, especially if he's like extra mean and like, you know, on a streak.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, but like Daniel Bryan with the briefcase doesn't excite me at all because it's like, it just doesn't.
And I mean, like, the briefcase is like probably made of like, you know, toxic metal. You know, like, I don't think it's recycled material. So,
well, yeah, an eco-friendly briefcase, that would be if they said that would happen, then I would sign up for him right away.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, this is the time we could have used eco. Like, I still don't know why they had to drop the eco thing so fast.
Yeah.
I still feel like, why couldn't he be giving us lectures? Like, now he's just kind of like Daniel Bryan, the wrestler guy. It's less fun. Like, Drew Gulak's trainer. Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know.
He had this awesome gimmick going. Why? Well, it's like The Fiend lost the title. He didn't lose the gimmick.
Right. He could be, and right now, like, we're, you know, it's like this thing, we're all in this together, like one planet.
Yeah, babyface, eco-friendly Daniel Bryan. Yeah,
we could use that.
All right. Exactly. You're right. That's great. All right, let's talk about these Braun versus Bray. I mean, so that's my the last like topic I need to talk about, which is I need to. So, interesting thing. Love this feud. Obviously, it has roots, and I think Bray Wyatt. Well, first question is this just a match or a funhouse style match? You think?
I think it's just a red light match.
Yeah.
Because they would have trotted something out, right? Like on socials, like, oh, they're going to be in like a dilapidated barn match or something.
Right. And that feels like, and also like Bray Wyatt needs to lose this match. And Braun, just because Braun's not going to lose. I mean, I'm fine if Bray Wyatt wins, but Bray Wyatt with the title in this time is just a mistake. He does not need to be the champion.
No, it's
all
fine.
The fun stuff you could do with him. Like, he doesn't need the title. Braun Strowman needs the title. Like, I like Braun Strowman now because he's the champ. Just because he looks cool, like, holding a title, you know?
Yeah.
It works, but Bray doesn't need it. But, like, and then Bray can't really be losing at his own concept matches either, right?
He can, I think, right? Like, especially if this is just like a concept match. Yeah.
Like a funhouse style match. Can Bray lose one of those?
I don't think so. Cause like if it's that, he's in his own like supernatural turf. You know what I mean? Like, it should be impossible for him to lose, especially when he can like warp you into different times and dimensions.
Right. Okay. So, yeah. So yeah, I think Bray just has to really like Braun can win that match, and I think almost they might be able to get away with Bray like laying down for him too in a way. But like Braun needs to, like, when he wins that match, just like be spooked. He just needs to walk away like spooked, because right now Braun's like not at all scared of Bray. Bray needs to be like make him shit his pants a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he still wins.
Right. And there's definitely some interesting ways that Bray can lose, you know, in the ring and still seem like a threat to Braun, because they have the family history. So who knows which direction they'll take in. Who knows? Maybe Sweater Bray will...
What a fun thing. We like Bray, you never know what the match is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost what Finn Balor wished he had working, like with the demon thing. Like, he was like, oh, is he going to be the demon? And you're kind of like, well, if it means he's a demon, it means he's the same but wins.
And has a different outfit and crawls to the ring.
Yeah.
And face paint.
Like a weird sex crawl. Yeah. Bayley versus Tamina. I mean, Bayley's just going to win. It's just a holdover match.
This is tangential, but I watched the Jimmy Snuka Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Should I watch it?
Yeah, check it out. And Tamina is not...
She doesn't make a cameo to be like, yeah, my dad's trash.
No, but I believe that's her mom who does speak pretty extensively in it. I believe it's her mom.
Oh, about how bad of a guy he was?
No, well, he had a wife like throughout the whole thing, I think. And unless he was married prior to that.
Killed a woman?
Yeah, his girlfriend died mysteriously in a hotel while they were together. And they had a history. And he was married the whole time. He had a girlfriend. So, but I don't know. A wife of his speaks a lot during the show. Yeah. But I don't know. He may have been married prior. And like, that's Tamina's mom, but still about her dad. So interesting.
That's the part of wrestling you can really explain to people, because you're like I was talking to this guy and he was like, you know the you're still watching that guy. I know that guy. I had no problem with the dude at all. Like, and I think there's like a level of let's call it ignorance.
I like talking to those people.
So do I. I said it negative, but I don't mean negative to them. I mean a negative feeling that you get as like someone who knows how great this thing is.
Right.
Kind of just like, I know I'm not going to get through to you, so it's kind of a waste. It's kind of like a waste of my time to even try, but then I always fucking try.
No. You
know what I mean? I always just go like, yeah, it's good now. Check out this guy. You know,
I Daniel say the Bryan. Same exact thing. It's good. It's good now.
Like, yeah, it's good. And then I have to do this thing where like somebody will be like, yeah, wrestling is like even good anymore. And then I have to like just be like, it's almost like you first meeting someone. And because I have this podcast, it comes up early. You're almost like, you almost are a little combative about it, but like I've chosen to do that, like where like people, I'll be like, yeah, it's good now, and I'm not apologizing. Like, I'm not at all gonna walk that back. That's like kind of like a thing. I'm always working on that. I'm working on not like just trying to be agreeable with people, because I like to like get along and not be like a little conflict averse. So I'll try. Yeah. And so if I go, it's good, I have to stick with that, which can be very tricky with wrestling.
My move is usually when I have a conversation with that guy and they say like, oh, I used to watch it, and I'll ask who their favorites were, and I swear to God, like 9 times out of 10 their favorites are still wrestling. They'll be like, oh, I remember, like, I loved Randy Orton or whatever. I'll be like, well, actually, I just watched him wrestle last night and he's in the best shape of his life. So that's a good way to kind of like pivot it and but be like, guess what?
Yeah, like I also like I'm in this zone where like I'm such a fan of wrestling. I can't even fathom why you wouldn't like it. Like, that's another thing, is that I got to walk myself back to like, yeah, you know,
can't
I get
fathom it.
I can't even understand. Especially sometimes I meet people who are like creative people.
Or in the sports, period. It's like, why but not?
I'm not knocking them at all. Like, I'm not. I'm more discussing my relationship with that moment where I got to be. And sometimes this happens in front of my wife and like my family. And like, I got to be like, yeah, it's good. I'm like, fuck, I wish this didn't even come up, because now I got to be like, yeah, it's amazing.
Right.
I'm like, actually, it's amazing. And then I got to stick with that. Which
here goes Dan on his why wrestling's amazing tirade.
And it also dominates. It's like such a, you know what I mean? It also, for some reason, dominates. It can't, like, people like way stupider shit.
I know what I mean?
People build train sets, and then I'm like, oh, cool, train sets, whatever. Like, that kind of just, like, comes and goes. Oh, he builds train sets, but, like, wrestling's always like, yeah, still watching. And it becomes such a thing, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's not, you have to remember, it's no one's fault. It just is what it is. Right. Wrestling, for some reason, will always be treated this way.
Stigmatized.
Yeah, it will always be treated that way. And so it's up to you to be like, it's good. I love it. Man.
You're missing out.
It sucks that you can't enjoy, and you can't enjoy that they own a building. It's their real office building. Pro Wrestling, they own an office building, and they turn it into a fight battleground for a briefcase that has a contract where you at any time can get a title shot of your choosing.
Right.
All you need is a ref.
Like me telling the people at work, like, imagine this. Our skyscraper building we're in right now is the venue for a fight between six men racing to the top to get a contract out of a briefcase on a ladder.
It's almost like, it's like someone in your office, they're like, hey, everyone, just let you know, there's the, right now we have the money in the bank envelope. It's hidden around the office somewhere. If you find it, you could cash in, and you get one day where you get to do Aaron's job simultaneously with Aaron. And whoever does the better job actually gets that job.
I know.
Oh man.
No, I would defeat that person. No one can do my job like I do, folks.
No one will ever absolutely you right, of course. See that there's some shoot. Anyway, Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. Drew will retain, and then Seth is in a really nice spot for a clean win there. It's like, oh, my teachings have been all wrong. What am I missing? I'm sure they'll blow this, but that they have a great way. This is a great moment to heighten Drew. It's like, heighten Seth. Drew will stay the course, you know?
Right.
Seth's already believed in Drew, so it's not that far off. He's like, you're good. You're just not the leader. And he's like, am I really the leader I need to be? What do I need to do? I know what I do. I need more disciples. I need a crazier outfit. I need to go nuts. I need to paint a third eye on my asshole, whatever he needs to do. There's a great way to set Rollins off.
Yeah,
that's great. And I don't care about the tag division. I'm not even talking about the tag division.
We don't have WWE, to.
It stinks. It stinks. The tag titles stink. And that's where AEW is destroying them, except for Chucky T.
The previous episode to hear, or Twitch streams to hear about Dan's take on Chucky T.
Anyway, I like him. I'm just saying, choose a physique. Anyway, all right. Let's move on. I think that's everything I'm going to say. Remember, Money in the Bank briefcase, Money in the Bank Twitch stream, twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. We'll be watching that whenever the kickoff shows goes on. We'll go on probably an hour before the actual main show goes. So that's probably 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Check the Facebook group and our socials, which you now follow.
At Cow Podcast. Let's go, folks.
And if you ordered a hoodie, as of tomorrow, everyone that was paid will be shipped. They're getting there really fast.
Yeah.
I don't know if the post office, for something that's going out of business, apparently is went there. And they're, man, these are sweet. We have like literally six of them left.
Yeah, we have medium, large, and I think that's it, Dan.
Yeah, that's it. And so if you want one, if you're thinking about getting one, you might not be able to get your size, but you can grab one of these. We don't have any more. But
they're so cool. They're I'm going to put mine on now, actually.
And the bonus episode this week, right now on Monday, Bloodsport's out, but also we'll be discussing Kickboxer Vengeance starring Batista. Also, we'll be discussing Kickboxer 1 and whatever kickboxers I watch still, because I had like one of my Dave Matthews style existential moments. How the joy I was getting from watching Kickboxer 1.
Oh, cool. Yeah. We watched it simultaneously on Tubi the other day, and it's fun.
It's a five movie.
Yeah. Honorary five moo movie.
Yeah. If we ever do it, which maybe we will, but I'll talk a little bit about Kickboxer and how it relates to that movie. That's going to come out on Monday as well. The NXT AEW bonus episodes come out Friday morning with me and the Supermarket Nick Tulo and whoever wants to stop by. NXT this week, I'm pretty excited because Karrion Kross is going to debut with Scarlett Bordeaux, the old smoke show. Excited to see her on NXT. I'm very excited for her in general, more excited than for him, but he is a pretty hot dude. Don't let that goatee as fool you. I don't know why he has that. And then Charlotte versus Io Shirai for the title, NXT title. So NXT has a pretty good week coming up. And AEW, we have Cody versus Janela, Moxley versus Kazarian for non-title. So and then Kenny, Matt Hardy's first match. Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy on a tag team together versus Jericho and Sammy Guevara. I mean, great company. NXT has a very exciting show this week. So NXT seems to have fallen. NXT has found their groove, I think, now for their quarantine groove. So anyway, that's the stuff we'll be talking about. I'm excited to watch that. And also, one last plug. This Monday, also, I'll be releasing my first episode of the Dan Black Attack podcast. More info posted in the Facebook group. And check it out. It's going to be fun. My wife, Jamie Lee, on there. Talking about meditation and what quarantining with me is like. It's going to be a very good time. Aaron, anything else?
No, that's it. That's it.
Enjoy
your quarantine.
Stuff?
I think you said enough. I hope everyone is staying healthy and inside and enjoying their quarantine mania. The season rolls on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for stopping by. Good time. A lot to say. And I'm interested to hear what you guys think about the Matt Riddle stuff in the Facebook group. So, hey, that's enough. I could go on forever. Everybody, I got to walk these dogs. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
No more, Mr. Nice Chew.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Bye.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen up.
Wednesday.
When I go.
The couch.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.